Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation and hosted, found, etc., jitterymonkey.com. I am one half of your tag team championship podcast team. That was shaky. But anyway, my name is Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll, for episode number 13. Lucky number 13, Brian, and Nebraska wrapping up the regular season tomorrow. And it's going to be the Heroes Trophy game with Iowa. It's the trophy that everybody knows about and acknowledges, but nobody likes.
Can we start off with a public service announcement?
Sure. And by the way, the views expressed on the Five Heart Podcast, not necessarily shared by Coronation.com or Jittery Monkey, but are those sole of
Greg,
the... What?
Let me talk.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to make this very simple, crystal clear for our listeners. All right.
Should I be scared?
Maybe.
Okay, I'm scared.
If you ever tweet at a recruit or you tweet at a current student athlete and you're a grown person, i.e. you can afford your own mortgage, car payment, you have children, and you tweet at student athletes or recruits and tell them how pissed off and worthless and piles of shit they are for losing a sporting event – you need to look at the floor, need to understand what is underneath the foundation of the building you're in, then realize you're about 25 fucking levels below that on the human chain of life.
Can I ask a question? A follow-up, if you will?
From the peanut gallery, go ahead.
Yeah, what's spurring this? Now, obviously, we have said for... you know, years it's been the mantra at Coronation.com is, you know what, don't tweet at the recruits and don't tweet negative things at the players, the student athletes. Now, as we record this, the top-ranked Nebraska women's volleyball team just lost a five-set heartbreaker to number two Minnesota. Is it volleyball-related? Is it football-related?
Yes, it is. It is.
Can we put these Twitter bastards on blast?
This person named Husker_Hill tweeted to Sydney Townsend tonight, and she didn't have a great match, and I'm sure she's the first one to say it. After the match, she says, quote, Sit Town 14, her Twitter name, you had one job and suck at it. How are you even on the team? Costs the game and possibly more. Hashtags SMH FML Huskers BIGVB.
Husker_Hill.
Husker_Hill.
Okay.
And you know, I get frustration at kids. I get it. I get frustration at players and everything. And yes, I'm not very, you know, kind at it sometimes. And I'll fully admit it, but I never go personally after kids. Never.
There's a chance that Husker_Hill might be listening to this because
you're an asshole.
Because on November 3rd of this month of this year, replied asshole to a Corn Nation tweet. You know, so obviously follows Corn Nation and Drew, it's not that we don't like you. You just got to treat our Huskers, our potential future Huskers and our current Huskers. And why not? Even our previous Huskers, treat them with a little gosh darn respect.
Don't be an asshole.
What Brian said. But it was. And you were kind of keeping me updated The Slack room, chat room was kind of keeping me updated. I'm preparing for Thanksgiving at my house, so I've been doing a few things around the house and didn't watch. I started watching volleyball when it was 13-11 Minnesota in the fifth set. And, of course, I think it ended up being 17-15. But, you know, I you know, like all of us, you know, got excited, and then we got our hopes dashed. And we got excited, and then Minnesota got an advantage, and then Minnesota all right. won.
It's a holiday weekend. Let's talk football.
Man, you ain't got to be so uppity.
Because it's the next last one for like 3 weeks.
Oh, we only do this. We're only doing this on game weeks?
Well, no, but it's the last for like a month.
Last game.
Shut up. You talk too much anyway.
It's true. So this past week, Maryland came to Nebraska. It was senior day. And as I believe I said on social media, is my DVR. I set the DVR. I confirmed the DVR from my home remote in front of the TV Friday night to record the game with an hour record past just to make sure I didn't miss anything. And it was kind of quiet at work on Saturday, so I was able to watch the second quarter, didn't watch halftime, but watched a minute or so into the second half. Customer came in. I had, you know, essentially, congrats to me, pat myself on the back. I sold him a vehicle, hot dog, missed the rest of the game. Got home Saturday night to watch the game, did not record. So, thankfully, Watch ESPN app had the replay on, so I was able to get caught up on that and watched it Tuesday night. So I was able to, you know, let's talk about the Grand Island elephant in the room, Mr. Riker Fife. I thought granted, it was Maryland. It wasn't Ohio State, which he faced a couple weeks before. But I thought he performed admirably, did what he was asked to do.
I think screen-wise, probably as good as you can imagine. I mean, he looked better than Tommy at the actual tunnel screen game. Okay, RPO wise, run pass option wise, probably as good as you can imagine. He liked to check out into that though. Man, when he was running, everybody was screaming, "Get out!" You know, and
he had a couple nice runs to his credit.
That's all he needs to have is a couple nice runs. Anything more than that, he'll snap.
But I do remember in that, I think it was the second half or. I want to say it was the second half. If not, it was late in the first half. One of those periods I remember watching on Saturday where he takes a snap, takes a few steps back, sees pressure, keeps running backwards. And I think even our beloved Dan Hawkins said, praised Riker for his decision-making or his quick release or whatever. He, you know, said something positive about Riker, and then he runs 15, 20 yards backwards and then throws the ball out of bounds. And to his credit, he did that once and actually connected for, I believe, a first down with Brandon Riley later in the game. But that's, you know, against an Iowa defense that is better than Maryland, you're not going to be able to get away with that.
No, probably not. I wonder... One thing, you know, how well is Nebraska's offensive line now? And to be completely fair, first half Nebraska offensively wise and second half Nebraska offensively wise were really kind of two different beasts.
Well, yeah.
First half Nebraska seemed very clear, very focused, very
comfortable.
I don't know if even comfortable. They seemed efficient.
21 to nothing at halftime, and the final score being 28-7 definitely raised some eyebrows as far as what changed at halftime. Did Maryland make some stellar adjustments?
I thought Maryland blitzed a ton in the second half.
Maybe that's the adjustment that it was. And if that's the case, you don't want other coaches picking up on that game tape.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, if you're going to say that, I mean, Wyoming did that.
Oh, no, I'm just, a lot of it's about personnel and, everything else.
What I would say is defensively, save the one stupid-looking touchdown that he went through 20 tackles.
The 92-yarder?
Yeah, I would say that Nebraska's defense actually was really good.
I thought they played very well. The front four played with a purpose. They allowed the linebackers to do some things. And the secondary has been, really, if you take away the interceptions, which I think they're second in the conference in interceptions, if you take those away, I still think that the secondary is probably performing the best among the three levels of the defense, just because, you know, the athleticism's there. If they're not coming down with the ball, they're at least knocking it away. They're making the plays this year that they weren't making last year.
Yeah, I mean, the running defense is not as great, but the passing defense is a lot better, which coming into this weekend is going to be interesting because, you know, Iowa's one of those teams that doesn't mind playing a 17-10 game, 14-7 game, 14-10 game. You know, if they can get a touchdown lead, they like to just, you know, they'll play three downs and out and just try to make a couple first downs and dare you to beat them. I don't think offensively Iowa can do a whole hell of a lot on Nebraska. And I say that as in, you know, they could probably get, if they really wanted to, about 20, 21 points. But depending on the health of Armstrong, depending on the health of Fife, depending on the efficiency of Nebraska, especially against that secondary, you know, can Nebraska, you know, is one of those games that will Nebraska be able to outscore them? Will Nebraska have to pretty much pitch a shutout?
Is it going to be a situation where it's a track meet, or will the defense?
Can't see a track meet with the way Nebraska's playing offense right now. Not because they don't have 100% guy, but also the fact that Iowa's defense is not bad. Nebraska's defense isn't bad. And, you know, it'll be a fun game to watch to see if how Nebraska's done a great job this year with scheming. Okay. Scheming to get people open, scheming to get, you know, ISO, scheming to get numbers on one side of the field, run the other side of the field. It'll be interesting to see what Nebraska can do against Iowa to make them look, I wouldn't say silly, but get the advantages throughout the entire game.
What is, and I'm not trying to ask for a prediction per se, but what is the point, like, total that Nebraska has to score to get the win? Based on either the defense or you know, just other factors, if they score 21 points, they're going to win, or is that got to be 24 points, or would 14 points win, or does it have to be 30 points?
I think 24 points makes the game. If Nebraska scores 24 and loses, something happened that weird. I think Nebraska gets to 24, their odds are really good. I think Nebraska gets to 30. They are, things will look really, really good for them. So, I think 24, if they get the 24-28, I think everything looks really, the odds are going to be pretty well for Nebraska that, you know, they're going to win this game.
It is a Friday game. Remind me of kickoff time, because it's another one of those where I got to work on game day.
Kickoff is at 10:30 in Honolulu.
I'm going to punch you.
It is. Would you? I dare you.
Punch you?
Yeah.
I could do it. I could outrun you. I could punch you once and run.
I'll sit on you.
So
I'll fart near your face.
I'm not hip to the time zone differences in Hawaii. So is it 3:30?
It's 2:30.
Thank you. Was that so damn difficult?
No, it was actually. Because, you know, heaven forbid you thought something.
This is going to be, you're crotchety, and this is going to be, the shortest episode we've ever put out because I'm tired. I'm tired of dealing with you. It is as this episode drops. It is Thanksgiving, Brian. Your Thanksgiving plans?
Well, work on the site.
Uh-huh. Good times. You did Thanksgiving Wednesday night though, right? Did it a night early?
I did.
How did your Thanksgiving go?
Pretty tolerable.
The food was good.
We smoked the turkey.
Yeah, and you mentioned something about a brine.
Yes.
You were getting, see, when we were talking about it a couple of nights ago, you were getting John all like, man, you and your fancy culinary terms. John Johnston, the founder and the heart and soul of coronation.com. I am putting my turkey in the smoker, but there's no brine added. It's just going to be what it is and hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah, it's pretty good. My wife liked it. My kid liked it.
Hey, that's the battle right there, you know? If the family...
Actually, you know what the best part of the whole meal was?
The wishbone.
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
There wasn't a wishbone in it. A wishbone in it.
That is crazy.
Because it was just a turkey breast.
Oh, okay, all right.
The best part of it was the potatoes.
Sweet or mashed?
No, regular mashed, but I took the time to buy two big old cloves of garlic at the store yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And roasted them for about an hour.
Ooh.
Then got them nice and sweet and put them in. And you know, it's funny as I taste it and I'm like, oh, I don't really taste the garlic in this. So I put a little more and I'm like, oh, I taste a little bit. And I tell Kelly, hey, why don't you try this out? And she's like, trying to kill a vampire? I'm like, I guess it's done.
Our Thanksgiving spread is going to be the turkey, of course, mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes, stuffing, which I don't typically like the box stovetop stuffing, but it is what it is this year, and that's what we're going to have. Trying to think if there's anything else. Pecan.
Okay. My wife doesn't allow stuffing at all, so.
Well, that's not right.
But she did buy me stuffing this year. I didn't make it because it's one of those things, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, let's put like three – I don't need 20,000 things on the table. Let's put like 3-4 at the most.
I mean, I don't either. Good. It's just, you know, I don't know. I'm excited because I really enjoy sweet potatoes. but not that, you know, ruddy business with the marshmallows on top. That's not the kind of sweet potatoes I do. I just quarter them or chop them, put them in a pan with a little brown sugar and a little butter. There we go. Everything is happiness and harmony when you do sweet potatoes right. And my son loves my sweet potatoes, which is awesome as well. So game day is kickoff 2:30 Friday, and it's at Kinnick Stadium. Iowa has had their share of turmoil this season off the field in the ranks of recruiting. Brian, do you want to fill us in real quick on some of their notable decommitments?
Oh, because they lost two kids from the same high school, and then they lost another wide receiver from Dallas. So,
but I mean, there were what, 4-star kids or 5-star?
No, a couple were 4-stars. Rest were 3-stars. They do have 1 5-star linebacker, AJ Spinza, who's actually pretty good. Supposedly, if I remember right, he's legacy there, so he's going to stick pretty well unless Notre Dame's rumored to make a big push for him.
But
I don't know how big they're going to do.
And we've talked about this at, you know, I shouldn't say we. I'd say more so you because you're our recruit, Nick. It's been discussed quite a bit about Kirk's specific rules about recruiting and visits and things like that. If you're a commit there, he doesn't want you visiting anywhere else. And it's not really something that they can stop, but I guess it is a request they can make. If that makes any sense. Well,
no, it doesn't work, and I'll tell you why. Because some kids just have to go see what's out there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the way teams, and this is kind of like the Bo Pelini model, okay? The way teams like Iowa work is they get all the kids, they pop the best options they can get in early, okay? And then when they say don't go visits or anything, it's because they don't want him looking at anything and having to lose the kid and make the effort to replace him later on in the cycle. Sure. Which I get, because then you've got the kids in. That's why that's a perfect example of wanting the early signing period, because then you get the kids under ink, then you get the LOI, then you don't have to worry about it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The problem with Kirk is, it's a twofold thing. One, the communication between the staff and the kids seem to be very tedious at best. Okay. It's not just a habit that says, all these kids, we haven't talked in this long. We haven't talked since he committed. I haven't talked to this guy since this. There's a theme there. Okay. That being, it falls into number two. If I was not going to commit to a kid, a cornerback, let's say they have a cornerback, let's say Chevin Callaway. Okay, say, hey, we're going to go out and recruit 2-3 more cornerbacks because we went 4 in the cycle. Okay, sure. Well, Chevin commits. All of a sudden, why are they recruiting another cornerback when they got 3 other guys?
Sure.
Why are they doing this? Okay. If you're short and you need one more cornerback, say, hey, don't sweat it. This is why we're getting it. Oh, cool. I need your help. Cool, cool, cool. The whole running back, Eno Benjamin, Well, we're not – if you don't tell them, hey, we're recruiting another running back, kids kind of like, what are they recruiting another running back? Oh, don't worry about it. Well, yeah, it's my job to worry about it because I want to know, is it my spot going up? And it sounds kind of superficial, granted, and I'll admit that. That being said, kids just want to know what's going on with the cycle. Just be honest with them. That's the one thing Nebraska's done that's helped them out the last 2-plus years. It's only fair, because if you can't be honest to a kid when you're recruiting them and getting them on their letter, what makes you think that it's just going to flip a switch? Oh, he's telling the truth. Freshman year, sophomore year, whatever. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Kirk gets testy when he gets asked about it. I don't want to talk about it. Oh, they want to be here. They want to be here. Such like that. And like I said, it sounds very Bo Pelini-ish. To me, it's laziness. Kirk's just going to take who he needs to take, and he's happy with what he has. And it's kind of the whole contract thing. Yeah, great being 12-0, but, the norm is 8-4, 7-5. And, well, that's football and blah, 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 blah. So that's what you probably need to know about it as best.
That sums it up pretty well for me. And real quick, and I'm not asking for a grade letter or I guess a letter grade anyway. If based on what we've seen, let's say the last 5-6 years, Nebraska recruiting, how would you compare what they're doing right now to what they've done? Like I said, over the last 5-6 years, far improved, trending up.
How much time do you have?
Not that much, because you said you wanted to keep this episode short.
Well, they're more organized. The targets are better. The targets are more organized. The communication is beyond belief. The ability to get kids to visit Lincoln on their own dime has been incredible. Joseph Lewis has visited Lincoln 3 times. He's probably going to visit one more time, and all but once is on his dime. Okay, you get one of the number one receivers to visit that much. It's a big deal. You get, in Nebraska, Nebraska is going to probably get Joseph Lewis. Will they get Foster Searle? Maybe, but the fact that Nebraska is not going to win every track meet when it comes like that, but got to be willing to play. You can't win if you don't play. And every once in a while, Nebraska, under Bo at the end of the cycle, you'd see these kids that are being recruited by maybe one Power 5 team. Everybody else is a MAC team. And, this is a kid that will develop. Well, the The problem is now, and you're seeing it now on the field, is that some places don't have the depth. Sure. Defensive line, quarterback recruiting under Bo Pelini was trash. Okay. The last quarterback recruit that Bo Pelini had is now playing tight end in North Texas. And that's Kevin Dillman. While Joe Burrow should have been to Lincoln, but you know, circumstances, whatever.
Let me ask you this, and you know, I'm not even going to ask it. Never mind. It's a ridiculous question. It's a ridiculous question. You'll sigh. You'll roll your eyes. I'll hear it, and we'll just move on. So, my ridiculous question was going to be, could Mike Riley and his staff have closed Bubba Starling and gotten him to Lincoln?
No.
That was my question. as we get ready to wrap this up, and like I said, folks, this is probably going to be our shortest episode ever. It's certainly the shortest one so far. Nebraska and Iowa playing for the Hy-V Heroes Trophy. Corporate sellout.
Do the winners' fans get coupons?
They should. Or, I don't know, does Hy-V do like fried chicken from a deli or something?
Oh, their fried chicken's good.
No, see, I don't know that. I've never had
their salad. Their salad bar is awesome.
So there you go. Winners get fried chicken from Hy-V, and that'll make
salad bar.
Okay, fine, salad bar. If you want to eat somewhat healthy, whatever.
The breakfast place is actually really good too.
I've never actually stepped inside a Hy-V, so I don't. That's the thing. That's the thing.
Smile in every aisle.
There's a what?
There's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Interesting, but even when I lived out in Nebraska, they didn't have Hy-Vs out in my part of Nebraska. So it's definitely more, you know, like the Lincoln, Omaha, Council Bluffs area. You know, like the whole state of Nebraska doesn't care about Hy-V. They don't. But what they do care about are the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy. That
God, we're going to talk about this shit again.
No, we're not going to talk about it except to mention that the University of Nebraska in emails obtained, not by us, but shared on Reddit, I believe.
Nobody cares.
They're just sweeping it under the rug. And obviously people do care. I care because I keep bringing it up. You don't care. And we've talked about this. There's only one trophy you care about, and that's fine. I'm not disparaging that.
But, oh, my God.
No.
I'm sorry I've those things, people.
You know, I don't apologize.
No, enlighten me.
Enlighten you?
Enlighten me.
Okay.
You know what?
Is there a corporate tag on the Paul Bunyan's axe? No.
No.
It's just something that started generations ago between two student groups, what have you, and it's carried on. But for whatever reason, Nebraska, our trophies. That we even have trophy games is you know, must be a rite of passage in the Big Ten, but they are corporate sponsored. But the one that the fans embrace the most doesn't have the corporate backing, and therefore gets pushed aside, not mentioned, illegitimate stepchild that, you know, shackled in the basement. I don't know. The fact that we're having this conversation because they don't acknowledge it means that obviously there are people who care.
Like you.
Like me. I'm not the only one, and you know I'm not the only one.
That's great. Anyway.
All right. Final question before we head out of here, and you don't have to elaborate. A simple yes or no will suffice, and if you want to get into it in the comments, certainly leave your comments as well. But Iowa, rival, yes or no?
I think they are. I think proximity to the time of the game does. I think the problem is it felt forced more than anything because of the time that the Big Ten said. But I think proximity and, you know, it feels better when you win that game more than it feels, you know, the only other way it could be Wisconsin. But you know, it's kind of like, when you had Colorado and you had Kansas State and you had Iowa State and you had Kansas. You know, the whole little quadrant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had your little three games or whatever, and you had Kansas State, Iowa State, and Colorado. If you win that three, you go 3-0 through that, you're feeling pretty good, 2-1. You're not feeling so good, and lower than that is not good, Bob. So I'm fine with the rivalry, the trophy, whatever, you know. But as long as it stays competitive is one thing. If it doesn't stay competitive, it's not. Everybody says, "Well, Wisconsin's a rival." Well, right. What have we done in Madison?
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make. Is because of the head to head, I wouldn't put Wisconsin there. If we start to compete better, play better, and win and balance out that win-loss record with Wisconsin, then I could see them being, you know, a rival. Because if you think about it, they're, you know, probably over the next several years, it's going to be Wisconsin-Nebraska at the top of the West Division, with the occasional outlier sneaking in there as well. But I would put Iowa-Northwestern probably as my – and Northwestern might be a stretch, but – there's that whole, you know, who's the real NU type of thing. But I would put those two as the conference rivals, with Wisconsin, a close third, I guess, if you want to write, you know, phrase it as such. So,
yeah, is what it is on that. So,
because I know some, and there's discussion even among the coordination staff about Iowa. And, you know, I think it's Ryan Tweedy from the Big Red Cobcast who says they're not a rival, but I hate it when we lose to them. He words are probably a little bit different, but that's, you know, sentiment is there. I got news for you, Ryan. I think that's the making of a rival. So, all right, everybody, we hope that you've enjoyed episode number 13 of Coronation's Five Heart Podcast on Thanksgiving. And if you're one of those, I'm not going to use a superlative here, but if you're one of those individuals standing out waiting for a $50 television, I thank you for tuning in while we were able to take your mind off the cold weather for a half hour or so. And if you're listening to this Saturday morning Friday morning, I should say, on game day.
Don't punch anybody.
Yeah, don't punch anybody and don't run over anybody.
Yeah, let's get out of the call. So.
All right, that's it for the Five Heart Podcast. I'm Greg Mahochko. He's Brian Toll. Go Big Red. And remember that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Happy Thanksgiving on that note.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.